Chapter 38.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy right out of my head.
That was an excellent job today, my Padawan, Mace said. John smiled slightly when his master reached out to tug lightly on his braid. The sweat from their spar cooled on his brow. Thank you, master, John said. He paused and then decided to press his luck. So, when do you think I can start learning the opening meditations for Vapod? He tried not to sound too eager and failed utterly. Mace's eyebrows flew upwards. I didn't start Depa on the opening meditations until she was 16, John. You are still a long way from 16. John made a face. Dark Woman would have knighted him at 14, never mind 16. Sure, the temple's 16 usually looked a lot different than John would have expected before being introduced to Coruscant, but that was hardly his fault. John felt like he had a good grasp on his own abilities and was hardly an overconfident child that would get himself in over his head. Now that John had relaxed his tight grip on his shields around his bond with Mace, some of his thoughts must have been clear. Mace's expression shifted to amused.
"Psst, John," a voice called.
John turned his head to see Garen and Reeft waving at him from behind a pillar. Hesitantly, he waved back, and their gestures shifted to a clear summons. John looked back at Mace, who appeared to be observing the proceedings with interest. "Go on, Padawan," he said. "We can finish our discussion later." Mace laid a gentle hand on John's shoulder and lightly prodded him in the direction of the others. John steeled himself and stepped forward to meet them.
"Finally," Garen said. "I thought you would never come over."
The older Padawan looked excited and a bit nervous. Reeft appeared long-suffering. "Sorry," John said. "Obi-Wan is in the middle of a seminar right now if you were looking for him." Garen waved away John's words and began to walk. For the lack of anything else to do, John followed him, with Reeft bringing up the rear.
No, we know. Obi-Wan takes a diplomacy elective in this slot, right? Like a nerd?"
John snorted. It's not like he didn't believe in learning everything he could to survive, better himself, but diplomacy was horrifyingly boring, and Obi-Wan was undoubtedly a nerd. Garen brightened at his reaction. His voice became just a touch more confident.
"Exactly. No, we wanted to bond with you. You're important to Obi-Wan, but you also seem very cool. We're pulling an Obi-Wan and adopting you."
John blinked. Was this how friendships usually worked? He was new to the experience. So far, it seemed like something that happened to him, rather than a thing he chose.
"Oh, okay."
"Okay, right," Garen said brightly. Reeft made a sound from behind John that sounded suspiciously like a laugh. "So, in the spirit of our newfound friendship, we thought we could introduce you to one of the favorite pastimes of Padawans and new knights." Garen paused, clearly wanting John to fill in the gap. John sighed, but obliged him. His words were coming easier and easier nowadays. "What's that?" Garen twirled to face John. He walked backward for a few steps, so that the grin on his face was easily visible.
"Tower jumping."
John stared at him blankly. He'd played along once, but twice was asking too much of him. The silence was cut off by Quinlan and Ciri falling into step with them.
"There you are," Ciri said. "I thought he'd said no or something."
Quinlan slung an arm around John's shoulders. Everyone else looked at him in alarm. John thought about biting him, the satisfying feeling of flesh splitting under his teeth. He looked sideways at Quinlan, and the thought must have been incredibly visible on his face from the way the Kiffar paled. But, rather than do the intelligent thing and drop his arm, Quinlan smiled at him uneasily. John huffed and let him be. The contact was fine, and Quinlan was tolerable, even an enjoyable companion at times. It would be rude to bite him again. When the Kiffar processed that John wasn't going to bite him, his smile turned more genuine. He raised a gloved hand as if to ruffle John's hair. John immediately sharpened his glare. "Don't push it." Quinlan dropped his hand, but his smile didn't waver.
"This is going to be great. No bant."
Reeft snorted.
She says it gives her too much anxiety to see us throw ourselves off of high things. Boring, Quinlan complained. Throwing themselves off of high things? What the criff was tower jumping? John was surprised when they stepped out into what passed for sunlight on Coruscant. He hadn't noticed the path they'd been taking, absorbed as he was in the conversation. They were at the top of one of the highest spires in the temple, and the view of Coruscant was spectacular. It sprawled before them like an unwieldy monster of glass and metal. The golden marble of the temple looked almost out of place. John processed the implications of where they were. "We're jumping off," he said warily. Ciri smacked Garen in the arm. "You were supposed to explain and ask whether he wanted to do it, idiot. What if he doesn't even know how to do it yet?" Garen yelped. Ciri turned to face John. Tower jumping is a common temple pastime. A lot of the older Padawans and younger knights like to do it, but even the counselors do it on occasion when they're in a hurry. "Or drunk," Quinlan muttered under his breath. Ciri's glare could have incinerated him on the spot. "You're just supposed to slow yourself with the force before you hit the bottom," she finished. "Oh," John blinked. "Dark Woman taught me that. She used to throw me off cliffs and buildings all the time until I learned it. Is this a test?" All four of the other Padawans paled. Ah, John thought. Yet another part of how he was raised that was likely horrifying compared to temple standards. "No," Garen rushed to say. "No test, and you don't have to do it if it'll bring up bad memories. You're supposed to have fun with it and do some flips or something. There's a running scoreboard for who goes viral on the Coruscant media sites. They think Jedi are insane." That wasn't what John was expecting. He considered for a moment, but that sounded fun, actually. Without the imminent fear of death, free-falling was probably an incredible rush. He shrugged. "I'll do it." He was immediately surrounded by grinning faces. Quinlan finally dropped his arm from around John's shoulders. "I'll go first to show you how it's done," he said, voice mockingly arrogant. He walked over to the edge and hopped easily onto the wraparound high wall. Idly, John wondered if the windows had been left off the spires for specifically this reason. Quinlan stood facing them, sent them a half salute, and fell backwards. John let himself be crowded over to the edge to watch the impressive number of flips, tucks, twists, and other aerial maneuvers that Quinlan performed before he had fallen out of sight. "It's courtesy to wait another 30 seconds before starting the next," Ciri informed him. John waited the correct amount of time before hopping up onto the wall. He balanced easily on his toes. One deep breath, and then John let gravity take him. Obi-Wan hit the mats hard enough to knock the breath out of him. He didn't let himself feel it, not when the fight was still ongoing. He instantly started to roll, eyeing the small sliver of shadow at the edge of the mats. But it was too late. The light buzz of a saber set to training strength vibrated against his chin. Not willing to call it quits just yet, Obi-Wan fumbled for his saber. And John had it pinned under a foot. He sighed in resignation. "Solah," he muttered. John grinned at him wickedly. "Point to me," he said, and then offered a hand to tug Obi-Wan to his feet. Their masters had eased up considerably over the past several months since everything had come to light. John and Obi-Wan were trusted to spar alone, as long as they promised to keep their blades at training strength, went to a public cell, and did not do so while they were supposed to be sleeping. Obi-Wan had faith that their masters would let them return to their favorite decrepit hideaway soon enough. John was considerably less patient. "That's two in a row," John said smugly. "Are you losing your touch?" Obi-Wan rolled his eyes. "And the one before that was a point to me. Seems like you're getting a little cocky, John. Maybe we should do an Ataru-only spar just to ensure you aren't forgetting Form 4. John grimaced. "No thanks. Again." Rather than give his assent in words, Obi-Wan simply lunged. Free-for-all spars meant anything goes, after all. John managed to get his saber up in a Ceresu block and deflection. With a pointed wink, his younger friend threw himself up into a showy Ataru flip. Obi-Wan snorted. He easily recognized the move that he'd helped John perfect, and brought his saber up to block as he flung himself out of the range in a forward tumble. Moving their frequent spars to public cells had changed their techniques entirely. Because of the shadowy nature of the lower temple, their usual spars had relied heavily on shadow walking. Sometimes, it felt like little more than a game of pointy tag. Up here, however, they couldn't rely on their teleportation as much. It forced them to focus on technique more than anything, both bladework and force use. Being balanced was a good thing, even if Obi-Wan missed the ease of stepping in and out of shadows. John's next attack was a series of Neiman strikes, which Obi-Wan easily fended off with a strong Ceresu stance. He was still learning the nuances of the form, but it did suit him. He made John wear himself out against him, even as he conserved his energy. Without looking, Obi-Wan made note of the fact that they were near the edge of the mat, just a little closer. Obi-Wan stepped into the small shadow at the edge of the mat and fell from the ceiling. Now, he used John's limited surprise to go on the attack, with a mix of Ataru and the barest bones of Makashi. Despite the change in tempo, John barely flinched, flowing smoothly into the mix of Shicho and Neiman that he liked best, pulling and pushing at Obi-Wan with the force. Finally, on the offensive, Obi-Wan refused to give ground. He could see his friend quickly scanning for a shadow to slip into, to reset the fight, and Obi-Wan resisted. He kept John herded into the center of the mat. Eventually, already worn out from their previous matches and his fast series of attacks in the beginning of this match, Obi-Wan managed to get under John's guard. A quick deflection that was all Ceresu, and then a jab that was textbook Makashi, ended with Obi-Wan's saber leveled at John's throat and John's saber on the ground. "Sola," John said, "I haven't seen you use that last strike before." Obi-Wan refused to flush, well aware that John would leap on any sign of weakness. "I've been doing some reading on other Makashi positions," he said casually. By the mirth John sent along their bond, Obi-Wan knew that his friend had heard the unsaid, "in case Master Dooku does decide to teach me." At least John had the decency not to say it aloud. Both of them startled a little at the voice calling from the door of the cell. "I thought I recognized it. From Master Yanez's fourth treatise, yes? His interpretation of Form 2 has mostly fallen out of favor." Master Dooku stepped out of the shadows. His long strides quickly ate up the distance between the three of them as he joined the two Padawans on the mat. Obi-Wan straightened up, posture immaculate, and glanced at John's reaction. Surprisingly, his friend had barely tensed. His face wasn't welcoming, per se, but John was rarely so open. He looked incredibly neutral in a way that Obi-Wan hadn't expected. Obi-Wan realized that he hadn't bowed and quickly nudged John to dip down with him. "Yes, Master Dooku. Master Nu suggests that I read it," Obi-Wan said. He carefully left out that the archival master had also said that Dooku had found it useful. "Indeed," Master Dooku said, eyebrows just slightly raised. "I must confess, I wasn't expecting the prowess that both of you showed on the mats. Temple gossip is so often exaggerated, you understand." John hummed. "We like to spar," he said. It took everything Obi-Wan had not to gape at his friend, speaking so casually in front of an unknown adult. "Our masters insist we use training mode now." His expression was all calculated innocence. There was an undercurrent here that Obi-Wan had no hope of grasping. Master Dooku's mouth actually opened for a moment before he abruptly swallowed. "Implying that you used to spar on full strength, hardly typical for Padawans." John tilted his head, a smile dancing across his lips. "We're hardly typical Padawans." Yeah, Obi-Wan had no idea what was going on, and it was time to nip it in the bud. "Yes, well, did you have this room booked, Master Dooku?" The master turned his eyes back to Obi-Wan, and his expression softened. "No, Padawan, I simply heard the sounds of an excellent fight and was intrigued. Though your Makashi is limited, you demonstrated excellent instincts on when to incorporate it." There was no stopping the flush this time. "Thank you, Master." Master Dooku detached his saber from his belt. He had the decency not to mention the way both Obi-Wan and John stiffened. "If you have the time, I would be happy to give you both some pointers on the finer aspects of the form." Obi-Wan almost couldn't believe it. Although the master had offered during their first meeting, he'd thought it was a courtesy and nothing more. It was well known in the temple that Dooku was one of the Order's best duelists. It was equally well known that the man was awkward with children. He nimbly managed to avoid teaching anyone younger than knight level. For the man to genuinely offer to train them, it was an opportunity Obi-Wan wasn't planning to take for granted. Yes, please, Master. We would be honored, Obi-Wan said. When John didn't immediately chime in his agreement, Obi-Wan not so subtly kicked him in the ankle. Okay, John shrugged. Master Dooku's answering smile was small, but genuine. End of chapter 38.